Shalom Aleichem, this is Rabbi Kovacs, and the Mishnah continues for Yad Bishvat, which is Erev Tu Bishvat, so Chag Sameach in advance. We are in chapter 6 of Ketuvot, Mishnah Zayin, Hamashlish Ma'ot Lebito. Now, Mashlish is from the word Shalosh. He makes a third party. The father appoints an agent to go and buy a field or a property, maybe an orchard, a vineyard, and that's going to be dowry for his daughter. And then she will own the vineyard, and the husband will have the rights to the fruits, as we've explained before regarding dowry. And then what happens, the Gemara explains, the father actually passes away before the third party has acquired the field, and we're still in the first stage of marriage. There's been a kiddushin here, but they haven't gone to chuppah yet. He'll merit, and the daughter, the kala, she says, Namon bolei alai, I trust my husband. What she's saying to the shalish, the agent of her deceased father, she's saying, you could just give us the cash, and my husband will pick out a field or an orchard or a vineyard, an investment property, and that will be my dowry. I trust him to pick out the property that he will find best for our family. So what should the agent do? Yaseh ha-shalish, the third party should do, Masha hushlosh biyada, what he was appointed to do in the first place. Devar Rebbe Meir. That's according to Rebbe Meir. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi disagrees. He says, V'chi eina ele sode, isn't this just a field? Meaning, if the shalish had already bought just a regular old field, V'hi rotza lemochra, and the daughter now wants to sell it, harei hi mechura me'achshav, wouldn't it be sold right now? Meaning, the dowry, the field or the vineyard or whatever this property is, it belongs really to the girl, to the bride. And if she wants to sell it, she could sell it. So Rabbi Yossi's logic is, we might as well give the investment money to the husband for him to buy property for dowry. And again, the bride will own the actual karka, and the husband has the rights to the fruits, the produce from this. We might as well let them do that, let the bride and groom decide, because if he went ahead and bought a field, she could just go ahead and sell it. After all, it's her property. But Madamar Morim, when does this rule apply? Begadola. With a girl who's already reached adulthood, a Lava Katana, a younger girl, younger bride, Ein Masei Katana Klum. So the act of a child is meaningless, meaning she can't make this financial claim for on the third party to go ahead and give the dowry money to my husband and let him invest it. Mazel tov, let's go on to chapter 7. Hamadir et ishto milhanut lo. Don't try this at home. Someone makes a neder, a vow, an obligation against his wife that she can have no hana, no benefit from him. So now he can't feed her or clothe her. That's a problem. So how long can such a marriage last? Ad shloshim yom, only for 30 days. Now what's going on here is the wife is obviously keeping whatever earnings she makes. As we've discussed in previous chapters, the wife's earnings by default go to the husband, but the husband has the reciprocal obligation to feed her and clothe her and put the roof over her head. So this neder, this vow the husband's making, it only works in the first place if he's letting her keep all of her income. If he's not, then this neder is actually meaningless because he has a biblical obligation to support the wife. So in such a situation where she's keeping her earnings, but of course, you know, there were no other expenses, you know, the dry cleaning and whatever it is, the gas, you know, so she needs a little extra money. So what does the husband need to do? Ya'amid parnas. He stands up a provider. Now, we don't mean, the Gemara says, he doesn't appoint an agent to give her the extra money. He basically goes to the shuk, he goes where the people are and says, listen, anyone who gives my wife such and such money, they're not going to lose out. And people understand they should give the wife out of their own pocket, and then they'll get reimbursed by the husband, but they're not his official agent. So it's not going against his neder of not having her get benefit from him. Yotir Mikon, if this situation goes on for longer than 30 days, they're estranged for longer than 30 days, Yotzi, he must divorce her v'yiten ketuvah and give her the full ketuvah payment. Now the Gemara cites a discussion in our sages, if this neder was only 30 days, if it was any longer, this divorce would have happened immediately, or if we really, the neder could be any length, but we give the husband 30 days to make amends with his wife and get his neder annulled. Go to a chacham, a sage, and have an annulment done to the neder. We'll discuss this in detail, of course, in Masechet Nedarim. Here the Mishnah continues. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he says there's a chiluk. Be Yisroel, if the husband is a regular Jewish guy, chodesh echad yakayim. This situation could be gone for 1 month. Shnayim yotzi v'tin ketuvah. If it goes into the second month, he must divorce her and give her the ketuvah. Ubu kohenet, a Mrs. Kohen. The husband making this vow is a Kohen. Shnayim Yekayim, we wait 2 months to see if they can patch it up and get the husband to annul. Shlosha, but into the third month, Yotzi V'yitin Ketuvah. Then, already, we need to give the Ketuvah and end the marriage. Why, by a Kohen, do we give him sort of more time to fix the marital problem? Well, it's because if he divorces his wife, there's no take-backs for a Kohen cannot marry a divorcee. By the Yisrael, maybe that would be an option, though if the guy's making the Darim, of course, the wife could object to remarrying him in the first place. Yashu kochachem, hag sameach, zay gesund.